It seems like every time I preach like this might be the message, last message I'll ever preach. Maybe it is, I don't know. But I hope not. But we're living in very troubled, difficult times, especially for the world. But we in the church are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We recently preached on the holiness of God and how we've lost that vital concept, and as a result, there's little fear of God, and if we don't have the fear of God, we lose our wisdom and we lose our knowledge and we begin to lose our discernment. We have no true concept of God's mercy or his grace and his love, because when we see his holiness, we see the great grace it came to save you and I. Yeah, it took great grace, great love to save me, because if I had been God, I would have got rid of me a long time ago, but he had mercy on me. And he saved me. And this teaching is also important to help us to understand the deception of the last days. So I'll briefly recap the sixth chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah went to the temple, and there was God in manifestation. And he said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. As a result of that, Isaiah completely fell apart. He saw God's holiness, he saw God's glory, and he saw his own depravity and his own weakness in reality. And we said Job had a similar experience, and he said he abhorred himself when he finally saw God near the end of that book, as Daniel was smitten to the ground with no strength. Habakkuk says in the third chapter, his belly trembled, his lips quivered, and rottenness entered his bones. And others in the Old Testament, they couldn't even get close to the mountain when the glory of the God came down. He said, stand back at a safe distance. John on the Isle of Patmos fell like a dead man at the feet of the glorified Lord. Peter, when he saw the great miracle of the Lord as he was loading his nets with fish, cried out, depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. But today, there are those who claim to go to heaven on a daily basis. They even give you schools how you can go to heaven every day and converse with God, order his holy angels around and elevate themselves in their stories and cheapen our blessed holy God. Paul had a third experience, heaven experience, and he didn't talk about it for 14 years. And he didn't even do it in the first person. He said, I knew a man, and I don't know if he's in his body or out of his body, but he went to heaven, and what did he say about it? Nothing. He said, I can't talk about it. And he didn't, because God is so awesome that there's things about God that we can't even express. The deception of these last days is amazing, just as the Lord Jesus said it would be before he returns. No less than three times in Matthew 24 alone, he warns of the deception as the number one sign that he's coming. While I believe that most of Matthew 24 has a direct application to the Jews during the tribulation period, we as the church, I believe, will already be in heaven, but we are so close to that time, I believe, church, that we're already seeing its shadows. It's like the shadows of the tribulation are already coming in on us. Matthew 24, 4 and 5, and Jesus answered and said, take heed. Be careful that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. And then Matthew 24:11, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Then Matthew 24:24, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Dear Father in heaven, minister this word to your dear people tonight who've come out for a midweek service. And Lord, let not one leave disappointed, but help us to know, Lord, you're watching over us, because you said, no man can pluck my people out of my hand. And so, Lord, we're here tonight to learn how to walk with you more fully, in Jesus' name. Revelation 12:9 says that great dragon which was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. You know why the world is such chaos tonight? Nobody seems to be getting along anywhere. In China, they're fighting. All over the world, they're fighting. In Washington, D.C., they're fighting. And it seems like everywhere. Why? We're deceived by the devil. There's been wars, and people have killed one another. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. And there's no end to it as long as the devil is in this world and he's the prince of the power of the air. But don't wonder that the conflict in the world is even growing and will grow to the point that men's hearts will fail them for the fear of the dangerous things that are happening. That's what the Lord said. The world is being deceived, and when we try to overcome evil and hatred, more evil and hatred grows. The old saying is, it's tit for tat. You kill my dog, I'll kill your cat. It's like gang warfare with the politicians and the leaders as the gangs. And while they fight it out in Washington, D.C., the nation suffers. Turf war never ceases, and we're helpless to stop them without the help of God. But in the midst of this all, false Christ and prophets will arise in his name and claiming to have all the answers. Don't look for a man in a weird man with sandals and a robe and combing his hair like pictures of Jesus. They've come and gone for years. They're not taken seriously. No one pays much attention to them. But rather look for men who come in Christ's name, saying, I am the anointed one. That's what Christ really means, the anointed one. And they'll say it of themselves, or they'll write it in their literature, they'll get others to say it, and then you add a charismatic personality to that. And finally, great signs and wonders, Matthew 24, the very elect will be challenged. Please do not discredit all who claim to have an anointing from God. Don't do that either. Or all signs and wonders. All signs and wonders are not false, lying signs and wonders. God does do things in the world today. 2 Thessalonians, here's some amazing scriptures. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. There are three Greek words that are used there. They all describe power, and they're the ones in the New Testament that do. Dunamis is the raw power. Somian, often used for miracles, and Tira, which often means miracles. Hear this carefully. The real danger of the deception is that the manifestation may be real, but the lie about it is the one who manifests themselves and teaching them is a phony. That's what a lying wonder is, a wonder that lies to promote a false teacher. And it may be real. There might be legitimate things happening that could be proved. But that doesn't necessarily mean someone who is teaching false doctrine, for instance, is of God. He may be what is being warned here. So just because something happens doesn't necessarily mean that it's of God. But it may be of God. That's why we're here tonight looking at this lesson, so we'll begin to learn to tell the difference. But if we don't pray, Lord, keep me from deception. I pray that prayer constantly. I say, Lord, don't let me deceive anybody and don't let me be deceived. I say, Lord, if I'm going to be an instrument of deception, just go ahead and take me home. I don't want to deceive anybody. And I don't want to be deceived myself. And give us a great love for the truth and judge all things by the word and succumb and do not succumb to any strong delusion. But and those who have no love for the truth and only want experience can also succumb to delusion. New Age teaching. Occult practices are being reclaimed in some circles as belonging to the church, and they say the devil stole them from us. You may not have heard this, but I try to keep up with things like this because I feel it's still part of my duty. But how could the devil steal something that was already his? Occult practices were introduced by him, but they said he stole them from the church. They were already his. Remember, the magicians in Egypt could do amazing things. Some may think, well, it can't be this bad, Pastor Ken. It's worse. And growing exponentially every day, especially among us charismatics. We're so hungry for revival. Counterfeit manifestations could fool us. It seems that some are acting as if God doesn't send revival, we'll have one without him. In 1976, a 1,333-page book was written by a lady by the name of Helen Schuckman, a Columbia professor of psychology. She claimed it was dictated to her by the Christ, and she acted as his stenographer. About 30 years ago, I was introduced to a medical doctor by the name of Amar Reyes. He's been at CCC several times. He and his wife, Corey, was baptized there. And he testified that he and many of his acquaintances were followers of Schuckman and her book, A Course on Miracles. And that was their Bible. Now, they were living a totally godless life, a totally destructive lifestyle of alcoholism, when he met and married Corey, who was a backslidden four-square girl, and she was led back to the Lord by Erla McKinley. Joyce, do you remember Erla? Pete Loop, you remember Erla? She used to come and she used to preach there frequently. Well, Erla introduced this couple to me, and they were baptized there. They started a brand new life, and we've been close friends ever since. They usually are in attendance when I speak of Hesperia because they live in the high desert now. But when I first met Amar, he told me about this Course in Miracles. And all of his friends were devoted to it. And he said it was their Bible. Oprah Winfrey, said to be the most powerful woman in the world, is a devoted follower of a lady by the name of Mary Ann Williamson, who was running for president. Oprah, her present guru is Mary Ann Williamson. And she herself has written a book. It's actually an exposition of A Course on Miracles. And they sound so good. They sound, oh, you've got a God within you, and you just need to unlock that power that's already there. And they talk about the Christ, and the Christ is already there, and you just need to get a hold of your inner self. Josh, just get a hold of yourself down there somewhere, and you can do anything. Yeah. I thought you knew that already. All of us are hungry for true revival. I'm hungry for true revival, to see as many souls as possible, but that hunger and that thirst may open us up to the very deception we speak of. So pray for discernment and check all things by the Word of God. Always starting in with the Bible. Read your Bible, and He will speak. You say, no, I want to hear Him speak out loud. Well, read it out loud. Then listen for that still, small voice. It usually carries a strong impression on our minds, but then it even must be checked out by the Word of God. I'm thinking about your church moving. This church, I remember when it was started very, very clearly. I was praying at my house on Saturday morning. And I remember back in those days, I'd often lay face down and pray. And that's where I was in my kitchen. I had this very strong impression that Pastor Dennis, who was our church evangelist, and Pastor Denise was our women's leader. I had a very strong impression that they should start their own church. And it came to me so strong. And I said, Lord, where and all of that. And I don't have back and forth with the Lord conversation. I don't say this and He says this and I say that. It could happen, but it doesn't happen with me. But anyway, I'm thinking, where? And He said, over with Elmer Jackson. And so, that was the impression I had. So it was strong. It was really strong. So I went to Don Papinaw, a good friend of mine, and the man I respected and trusted, and he's older than I am and older in the Lord, more mature. He's since passed on. And I said, Don, this happened to me this morning. What do you think? He said, it sounds like it may be the Lord, but you need to keep checking it. And said, okay. So we agreed that we'd call Elmer Jackson. If he was in his office, I'd go see him that Saturday morning. So I went to see Elmer. And Elmer was in his office, and I said, I related to him everything I've just told you. And he said, yeah, that sounds like a plan, but only if Dennis and Denise want to do it. I said, let's find out. So we called, and Dennis happened to be within 4 or 5 miles of there on the freeway, I believe, real close. And so Dennis came by. And it was kind of a surprise and maybe even a shock to them, but they agreed to do it. And they started over in Baldwin Park, and within a year, we helped them a little bit financially at the beginning, but within a year they had paid us all back and everything. And then this other church was opened up to them, and it was a new beginning for them, but now you're having a greater beginning. I believe it's a greater thing than you've ever known before, and it was God that worked it out. Now, it in a way, they maybe have felt like, well, we're just being put out here without any. No, it wasn't that way. We did help them, and we did stand with them. We would have liked to have seen more people go over and join with them, but some of you have. You've joined with them through the years. But I just praise God that there's some things that the Bible doesn't tell you. The Bible didn't say, but it gives you principles. It gives you principles that you can go by, and you can check even things like that by the Word of God. And so I know from the souls that have been saved in this church, and there's been a lot of them, and the homeless people that have been ministered to, and the people in hospitals that have been ministered to, I know that's far more than CCC would have experienced if they would have stayed there. And so it's been hard. It's been very difficult because all of us, when we first get into the full-time ministry, it's difficult. And so don't ever forget that. Okay, I want to go on with the message. 2 Peter, I just want to explain to you, you can hear from God, but check it out carefully. Go to somebody and talk to them about it. Don't just latch out and say, well, I hear for God, and I'm just gonna follow my best impression. Your best impression may be wrong. Okay, 2 Peter 1:16-21. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. For we received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain. Now, Peter said we heard God speak. It was out loud. We heard it. And he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn. And the day star arises in your heart, knowing that first no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, but for the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Do we understand what Peter is saying here? We heard it. We heard it. But we have something even more sure. We got the Word of God. And the Apostle Peter says, we heard that voice, and God has given us even a more sure word. We can doubt what we heard after a while. We can wonder, did I really hear it? Memory or other human frailties can bring us to doubt. But God said in his new covenant, he said, I'll put it in writing for you. You want a binding contract? You want a contract that cannot be broken? Put it in writing. Put it in writing. And God said, I'll put it in writing where you can pick it up any time and read it. And it'll always say the same thing because I don't lie. And I said what I meant, and I meant what I said. And that's what God has done. Don't doubt it. Don't ignore it. Don't neglect it. But love it. In the life of John the Baptist, we have a perfect example. He heard the voice of God. 1 John 1:33, he said that I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with the water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which is baptized, which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And as he baptized Jesus, there was a voice from heaven came and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And John had said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And then in prison, John seemed to forget what he heard. And he sent a message to Jesus, are you the one? Or should we look for another? Are you the one? And Jesus said, go tell John what you see and what you hear, that the blind eyes are open, people are healed, even the dead are raised. These were messianic miracles that he was talking about. Tell him that. And then he said, after the men left to go back to John, oh, tell him also, blessed is he that is not offended in me. Blessed is he that is not offended in me. In other words, blessed is he that doesn't get mad at me by the way I run my business. There are many of those today that say, we have got to be built on the foundation of the new apostles, are saying that they are in some ways more powerful and better than the original 12. There are many today, and so many, that call themselves apostles. They even contradict each other. They say we must be built on their foundation. But hardly a day goes by that I don't read what Apostle Paul said, or I don't read what Apostle Peter says, or Apostle James, or Apostle John. And if you want to go beyond that and get newer revelation, more powerful revelation, be my guest. There's always somebody that'll scratch your itching ears. But God says of his word, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. He said, I've even exalted my word above my name. I want to minister a little bit about our dear friend, Pastor Larry. We prayed. You prayed. He was on our prayer chain. And some might think, and I know the feeling. I know the feeling. Why didn't God heal him? Why didn't God heal him? Blessed is he that doesn't get mad at God by the way he runs his business. Because God is sovereign. I've seen people get healed, and I've seen, well, like Rael Gorey's son, Chris, we prayed round the clock, for 2 days. He went in as a sick young man at the age of 14. He was brain dead on Thursday and passed away that night. We had prayed around the clock. Instead of Ray getting bitter, he got better. And it just, one of those things that I don't understand yet today. But let me say this about Pastor Larry. He fought. He fought the good fight of faith. And he had won a battle about, what, 6 months ago or 8 months ago, or about a year ago. And gotten better, and I've heard him preach, and he's a good preacher. All of that. But blessed in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. This was not a tragedy to God. It's only a tragedy to us. And the Bible says sometimes God will take out somebody so they don't have to go through the evil that is yet to come. And we don't know. We don't know. But, and don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at God. He was there all the time. And one thing I can know, if we prayed earnestly and somebody goes ahead and leaves us anyway, I know God had a better idea. But if we didn't pray earnestly, we might think, well, if I'd have really prayed, he might have been spared and wouldn't have left us. So pray like it can't fail. And if it does, then say, Lord, you must have something else in mind. And let me tell you, had not Larry been in the hospital this last night, there would have been a whole waiting room that got prayer by Pastor Dennis. Those people might never have been prayed for before in their whole life. So God works everything according to his own plan and own purposes. Sometimes we understand it. Sometimes we don't. But we depend on him. And blessed is he that doesn't get mad at God by the way he runs his business. Oh, thank you, Jesus. One other area I must deal with, and I'm going to step on some toes here. I used to say I preach my messages to several different places, and this is where I preach them first. And I say if they don't throw anything at me, I preach them again. Well, I'm not so sure that's not going to happen right now. I want to talk about The Shack by the Universalist William Young. Personally, I'm offended by The Shack. I'm offended that our Holy Father is portrayed by an obese woman, that Jesus is one that you can command and the Holy Spirit has a body. I'm offended by that. Doesn't seem to bother too many people, but it bothered me. To me, that's all nonsense. And it's time that we stick to the Bible and burn the shack. And if you're not mad yet, this will get you. Jesus Calling by Sarah Young, who said the Bible was good but was not sufficient. She needed more. So she read a book written by two unknown, quote, listeners. And like Helen Schuchman that we talked about, she sat with pen in hand and wrote what he said. Now, if Jesus is truly speaking to her, that has the same authority as Scripture. If he truly is. Now, she writes some good little devotions, no doubt about it. But then she says it's not as inspired as Scripture. Well, why not? If it's Jesus talking, that's the way the apostles got it. He spoke to them. And if it's Jesus talking, why isn't it? Now, I think we should journal. And I feel like we may get a word from the Lord and we should write it down. But don't go selling it and make millions and millions of dollars out of it. Anyone who thinks the Bible is incomplete and we must add to it hasn't begun to understand it. There's more in that Bible than I can ever understand. More in the book of John than I could ever understand. And if it's not insufficient, our understanding is insufficient, but stay in it, and it'll become more and more clear. And there is a stern warning in the book of Revelation, taking away or adding to the word. And some people use that little devotion. I had a niece come down and see me, and she said, that's all I read. She reads that every morning, and she gets her little encouragement from that, and she really feels like she's heard from God. Well, I don't know, but I just want to bring it out here. And I realize I'm in constant danger of becoming an old wineskin. I'm halfway there anyway. I'm old, but I don't know if I'm an old wineskinner yet or not. And if we stopped here, we'd leave the wrong impression. There is true revival, and I want true revival, and I want it really quickly. Right now, we need it, but it will always have these results: a new reverence for God, a new repentance toward the things of God, and a deep feeling that we are not worthy for the grace that we have been given, and we'll do anything to please him. An awakening in the community. A revival that doesn't bring in lost souls is not a true revival. Don't settle for anything less. No matter how many manifestations are present, if God and his word are not preached, Run for your life. They had a so-called revival in Florida. The Bible wasn't being preached. People were being prayed for, falling down, and a lot of things happening. But even while that was going on, the man who was conducting the Bible was having an adulterous affair with his babysitter. And he was so supposed to be restored, and since then he's gotten involved in other sexual things. But the ones that restored him were supposed to be the biggies in a certain kind of movement, and they came and they laid hands on him, and they said, well, gave him prophecies over him, and 2 weeks later they discovered what he was doing. The bottom line is there will be counterfeit revivals in these last days, but there will be real too. But we need to distinguish the counterfeit from the true. As Jeremiah says, separate the precious from the vile. To train a bank teller to distinguish counterfeit money, she's trained to concentrate on what the genuine looks like. She just keeps looking at the genuine. Just keep looking at Jesus. Just keep looking at his word. Just keep getting in tune with him. And then when the counterfeit comes, you'll say, that's the way a bank teller's trained. She looks at the genuine, and then when a counterfeit shows up, she says, something just not right with that bill. You're a precious group. You really are. And I don't believe there'll be a single one of you that'll fall for anything, because you hear the truth here. Amen.